Welcome to Parenting Made Easy. I'm Susan Ng. Thanks for your company today. Today we're going to focus our attention on how we can get kids to focus, and perhaps even for ourselves as adults, how we can focus on some of the things that we're doing. We're all very busy. Some people are running almost 24/7 type businesses, and when we go home, we never seem to leave work, and that follows us home, and we're not able to perhaps focus our time with our children, focus our time on doing the things that we'd like to do because we have so many things going on, as a result of which perhaps for our children too, that we're not doing as well as we would like to in some of the areas that we would like to do well in. So my chat today is with a pediatric physiotherapist, and her name is Cheryl Chia. Cheryl owns Brain Fit and has been running this studio for quite a long time now. It's been a long time since we've heard from you, Cheryl. Welcome back to Parenting Made Easy. It's great to have you back on again.
Nice to be back.
Lovely to have you. And of course, Cheryl and her company Brain Fit co-organize Parents Connect, the next one coming up with Smart Parents from Media Corp. We'll tell you more about that seminar to be held on the 5th and the 12th of September shortly. But meantime, we're going to focus on Cheryl's pet topic. And you have a keen interest on brain research and how the brain and physical activity too can help in learning.
That's right.
I'd like to start there. Tell us the link between the physical activity part of our body and the brain, the learning part of the brain.
Yeah. So basically, the brain is very much like the body. So we all understand physical fitness. So for the brain, there's also what we're calling brain fitness now. Brain fitness really relates to cognitive skills. So cognitive skills would be skills like memory, how we focus, how we remember information, how we process information, processing speed, etc., right? And if you look at the whole range of cognitive skills, one part of it would involve processing of body information. So we call the information that's coming in from our skin, our joints, our muscles, sensory motor information. All right. So all that information is coming into the brain to be processed. That's how, you know, when, you know, what we do when we think, all right, and solve a problem. And because of that, the body is linked via these sensors that are coming through the skin, you know, the muscles that we talked about. And it is able to impact our ability to focus, to process information.
So you've been in practice for over 20 years now.
Yeah, that's right.
And you've also served at the KK Hospital.
That's correct.
And now you've gone into private practice. So you've seen hundreds and hundreds of kids in your practice. What is the one common trait that you see amongst them all?
A common trait, I think one of the biggest excitement, you know, in the field that I'm in is the discovery of neuroplasticity. So that's a big term, all right? But neuro just means brain. Plasticity means the changeability of the brain, right? We used to know, I mean, certainly children have brains that are very, very changeable. But what research has now told, you know, has shown us is that neuroplasticity is a lot more powerful than we ever thought. So we used to think that our genes, you know, determine who we are, right? So if you have genes that, you know, doesn't help you to pay attention, then it's, you know, just too bad. But now with the research coming out from neuroscience, we're understanding that the brain is so much more changeable than we ever thought, especially for kids, because the younger you are, the greater the changeability. So that has been really exciting, all right? So we know that with our kids, certainly whatever, you know, weaknesses or strengths that they are born with, that we can actually make everyone better, even us adults.
Oh, so you can enhance it.
That's correct. So it's very much, I mean, the way I would really advise people to think about the brain, and we, you know, often it's like a big mysterious black box, right? But it's to really imagine it like muscles, like the body, because the way they behave, while the cells are different, the behavior is very similar, right? So you can train up the body, you know, via, you know, suitable exercises. Likewise, you can do it for the brain.
Ah, so there are brain exercises too.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, is that why, when you talk about neuroplasticity, is that why we often hear people say that kids' brains are, it's like a sponge.
Yeah.
Is that the term we use?
Yeah.
So the kid's brain is like a sponge. Kids can learn almost anything.
Yeah, yeah. So
is that what it means?
Yeah, I think so. I think while it's not really like absorbing information like a sponge, because when we think about training up the brain, it's really building connections among the brain cells. So one of the ways I ask parents to think about it is you can think of, you know, the different parts of the brain that are responsible for different things. Some parts are responsible for body processing, body information. Some parts for focusing, for example. So what we really want to build up is the connectivity. So if you imagine, say, the brain has got little cities, right, you know, and they're connected by roads. So sometimes some of these are superhighways, and we want superhighways, right? So it's the connectivity that's determining our performance, you know, whether we are able to, hey, you know, just get it immediately, or taking time to understand a concept, for example. All right, if we have roads that are not so well paved, so you can imagine that the information transfer is going to be slower. So when we talk about, you know, the kid's brain, all right, I'm certainly a lot of connectivity is being built during early years, right? So that's why, you know, people talk about it like being a sponge, you know, that they can learn, they can absorb, but really it's all about the connections, the roads, you know, that you know, and we want to pave them up to be super highways as much as we can.
And this is what you're talking about building up.
That's correct.
And I like that description. Actually, I'm a very visual person. So when you said cities connected by roads, immediately the picture of the brain, and that makes it so easy to understand.
That's good.
So that's how we should think about our brains.
That's correct.
And
that's
it's not right. Just for kids. No. We can train adult brains too?
Absolutely. And there's been a lot of research also going on in the area of the brain of the seniors, preventing cognitive decline. You know, I mean, that's a big issue with the aging population everywhere. So, yeah. So, I mean, all of us should know that we have a brain that can be trained.
So there is a link then with this brain training and physical training?
Yes, that's right. Via the sensory motor processes that, you know, I talk about. Maybe let me give you a simple example. Yeah. So you have a child who is maybe not focusing very well when they're studying, and you might find that, you know, as you're assessing the child, that the child might be holding the pencil in an awkward way. All right, so if you look at holding the pencil, it's really a motor task, right? It's your fingers, it's how you, you know, just manipulate, you know, things, the fine motor skills, yeah? But what's happening is that if your fingers, say, are not processing sensory information very well, you might end up, you know, like maybe just holding the pencil really tightly. Now, that is going to take away mental energy, all right, or effort, you know, as you are writing, right? So the more your brain is diverting resources to peripheral things like how you're sitting, how you're holding a pencil, not fidgeting, it all eats into the attention span that is needed to understand the teacher, to work, you know, work out the problem on the worksheet, etc. So that's how, in one way, the body can actually drain attention span. So if you have two kids, you know, one that's holding the pencil with zero effort, just effortless in writing, you know, and you have another kid who's spending maybe an extra 5% just to manipulate the pencil so that the handwriting becomes neat. So you're going to see that the second child is going to have 5% less of attention stamina, you know, compared to the first child. So he's probably going to switch off a little bit earlier. So the way to help this child is really via, you know, improving the sensory motor processes in the fingers, right? So that handwriting becomes effortless. So the more automatic and effortless some of these other tasks that the brain is processing, the more we have, you know, resources for focusing.
Okay, so as you're talking, I'm imagining if you're walking and you're focusing in your feet, that's when you trip. Yeah. I noticed that. If someone says, watch where you're going, and you're spending all your time just looking down and not around you as well,
yep,
sometimes you trip.
Yeah, that's...
Is that like that?
Yeah, it's related. And you know, you will see that people whose balance is maybe a little bit weaker tend to look at their feet a little bit more too.
Yeah, me. And I trip more too.
Right. Yeah, so if you are... I mean, it's the same theory. Basically, if your attention is diverted into looking out, you know, looking at your feet, doing things that shouldn't be necessary, then you have less ability to focus on what's going on in the environment. So then, you know, you could have trip ups a little bit more.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So we've mentioned the word focus many, many times. And I'm sure that the kids who come to you have parents who say to you, my children can't focus. And I'm sure our parents who are listening to us either say that themselves. I know sometimes I do. And I have friends who always say, you know, the children can't seem to focus on whatever it is, right, that they're supposed to focus on. So when we come back, I'm going to talk to you, Cheryl, about how to get our kids to focus. Now, that's a big question. And Cheryl Chia will be back with me in just a moment. Welcome back. back. We're talking with Cheryl Chia, and we had just spent some time with Cheryl describing to us about the brain. And one thing she said really struck me, that if you look at the brain and the different parts of the brain, as if they were cities connected by roads, and how fast or how slow information gets from one city to another depends on how supercharged those roads might be. And there are ways to help increase our brain fitness, so to speak. And that's a pet topic of yours, yeah, Cheryl?
Yeah, that's
you spent
correct.
Many years researching and also working with children, also special needs kids, on how to almost rewire their brains and wire their bodies and their brains and make them one. So you mentioned the word focus a few times, and we did say that we'll come back and talk about focus. And this is one of the things that I think parents have issues with in more ways than one, and not just with younger kids, older kids too. And often you hear parents say, you know, my kids can't focus. Tell us why that might be so.
I mean, you're absolutely right that it is a very common complaint. You know, at BrainFit Studio where I work, you know, out of 10 parents who come in, about 8 of them will complain that seems to be a problem, you know, affecting the child's performance. So I think it's an important topic. The focus system in the brain is actually quite complex, all right? It is a complex system. And the reason that's so is because it's connected and it's influenced by so many other systems. So earlier I mentioned, say, if you were not, you were spending extra mental effort just holding on to the pencil, right? Your attention span, your focus capacity will be affected. So likewise, how much you are able to listen, for example, all right? So how good a listener you are, or how weak a listener you are, you know, will affect your attention span as well. So as you know, so if you have better strengths in some of these sensory channels, like how you are making sense of visual information that's coming in from your eyes, coming in from your ears. So if those roads around, you know, those areas of your brain are supercharged, then you find that attention can be left alone to focus, all right, and to really focus on the task at hand, whether it's a problem sum or understanding the teacher. But whereas if you were, you know, spending extra mental effort just processing the information that's coming in, what the teacher is saying, all right? So that's going to drain your mental capacity. That's why it's such a common complaint, I think, because not all kids that we see, not all the 8 out of 10, you know, complaints that we see have an attention challenge. What we're seeing is that some of them are just really weak auditory, weak listeners, all right? They are not processing listening information very easily, so that eats into the attention span. They're not processing information in their body so well, so that eats into the attention span, which is why it's so common. So the universal behavior is like, you know, the child is not focusing. But really what I'm trying to say is that the causes could be different for different children. So two kids might, you know, have short attention span or are not focusing well enough, and it might be very different reasons for each one of them.
So how would we as parents know so we can help them?
It's tough. I mean, for us, obviously, we depend on standardized assessments. You know, we actually go in and evaluate the body, how it processes information, or the auditory system and the visual system. I guess for parents, what you really need to do is to be very observant, which is a good thing, I think, you know, for parents to know their child, because every brain is unique. Yeah, but to really observe when are the lapses in attention, all right? Is it more when things become wordy? All right, be it a complex, maybe problem questions, or when you're talking a lot, you know, the switching off happens. Or is it more callousness? All right, missing out visual information. Yeah, or perhaps if the child, like I mentioned, motor-wise is not as refined, a little bit clumsy, right? Handwriting is untidy. So these will give you clues as to what might be causing, you know, kind of like draining the attention system. Yeah, so it gives you some clues as to, okay, maybe my child is not focusing. You know, every time there's a excessive language information. So then if that's the case, then you might want to present information visually. So for that child, if you're learning, don't take notes in point form, like do my maps. You know, you so present it in a channel that doesn't tax the system, you see. Does that make sense?
Okay, I get it now. So when we talk about people not focusing, it's not a general term, not focusing. We may not be able to focus if information is presented to us in a way that we cannot grasp
easily. That's right.
So, for example, if kids are staring at pages and pages of notes in a history book, for example, and the child isn't so keen on just words. So the presentation of that information in another form might make that child learn better?
That's correct. So it's how you are interacting with the information, you see. So there are different senses, like the cities I talk about. So each of them are responsible for processing, some for language information, some for visual information. So, and we have strengths and weaknesses in different areas. Okay. So you want to play to the child's strengths when you talk about learning strategies, you know, and how we can, yeah, just help a child learn faster. So you really need to know the child. And that will really help you to choose strategies and, you know, how to structure studying.
Right. So that would help kids who are studying, particularly for exams, and watch them as they study, perhaps, and be with them as they study so that you can understand how best they absorb information.
Yeah, right? And also from your general daily interactions.
Right,
you know,
right.
Just if they're switching off, you know, every time right. you're talking, you know, or, you know, if they're just tripping over things, you know, then it's really, it really helps, gives you some insight into what might be the cause.
Right, so we can't just blanket say, you know, you don't focus, and then we leave it at that. At least we find out in which areas the child is not focusing. Because for a child who can't focus on his history or math, for example, he may do very well in another area.
Yes, and absolutely.
Like games or
correct.
A video game or a sport or something.
Yeah, and for that, you might have problem getting the child to stop doing it.
Yes,
so you're
that's
not
right.
dealing with the focus problem.
And I'm sure
anymore.
You hear this, right? From parents,
yes,
see,
yes,
study
yes.
cannot study, but when he's out there kicking a ball, he can do that for hours and he's focusing on that.
Yes.
Okay, so understand how your child learns is important, in which areas and why the child isn't focusing.
That's correct.
And perhaps present information to that child another way. So if a boy or a girl is keen on sport and seems to be focusing a lot of time on that, perhaps he's a kinesthetic learner.
That's right.
So needs to work with his hands and legs, I suppose, right?
Yeah.
To get information in.
Yeah.
Okay. What about if a child isn't properly listening to you? So how do we then present information? Because a lot of the time, teaching is quite auditory too, right?
Yes, yes. Auditory is a really important channel for school because, as you said, you know, the teacher is, I mean, so much explanation is coming through verbally. You would want to train listening. So you can play listening games. You know, even for very young kids like Simon Says, that's really teaching them to listen out, to pay, to tune in to the sounds in the environment, right? You can play broken telephone or another game would be a one-time listening. All right, so okay, we're going to go to the shopping, you know, to the grocery, you know, and supermarket to get some groceries. And so these are the five things to buy. And I'm only going to tell you one time. Remember these five things. No more repeating.
Right.
And that's it. So you can add in, you know, games like that in your daily kind of interactions to help build up these mental muscles.
And I can see adults doing that too. It's almost like when someone introduces you to someone and when I'm not focusing, immediately I forget the name and I'm like, okay, what was your name again?
Yeah.
We're not really focusing that particular thing.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? This is really exciting and I find it absolutely fascinating. And if you do too and you'd like to meet Cheryl Chia, our pediatric physiotherapist, who she's founder and director of BrainFit Studio. BrainFit together with Smart Parents is presenting a seminar, Parents Connect, and it's happening on the 5th and 12th of September. There are two seminars running. And if you'd like to reserve a spot at the seminar, just email us, okay? Hello@smartparents.sg, and you can get tickets to the two seminars, 5th and 12th September. We'll come back and tell you more in a moment. Do stay with us here on Parenting Made Easy. I'm Susan Ng.